I have a confession to make. I do it occasionally. It's part of the Catholic gene I've got left over. You know, they don't call it confession anymore. They call it reconciliation. Isn't that lovely? I didn't know that for a long time. This is something only a few close friends know about me, and that is, for a lot of years, I could not dance. I couldn't. That's it. I mean, I could thrash around on the floor and pretend to be dancing as long as I wasn't hanging on to anybody. Or I could slow dance and sort of carry on a conversation so my partner wouldn't notice I was stepping on her toes. I could do that. But whenever an event required actual steps that were pre-planned and executed as a couple, I'd sort of ease on over to that part of the room where all the other non-dancers were carrying on their philosophical conversations or whatever they were talking about so that they wouldn't have to get out on the floor and embarrass themselves. That was me. But that's not the confession. About 2 years or so ago, I started taking dance lessons. I did, you know? And a very dear friend of mine, who actually knew how to dance pretty well, and I started taking private ballroom dance lessons from an instructor once a week in his basement. And at first, I have to admit, I did not want to do it. I did it because she wanted to do it in the beginning, because I didn't think I'd ever actually get around to dancing in public, because I never had and didn't have any desire to. But it wasn't long before I actually started to enjoy it. And I mean enjoy it a lot. And now I feel perfectly comfortable making my moves out where people can see me. Now, you probably won't see me on Dancing with the Stars in the near future, you know, but you'll see me at the holiday party or the retreat and things like that. Anyway, over the last 18 months, a thought that occurred to me more than once was, why did it take me 56 years to start doing something, to allow myself to start doing something and experiencing something that I actually ended up enjoying so much? Because that's something a lot of us do in all the different areas of our life. We put off doing things that might bring us joy or happiness or pleasure or fun for reasons that don't make a whole lot of sense. Now, they seem to make sense at the time when we do them, but once we stop and examine our reasons for not doing something from the perspective of our inner wisdom, from that place inside of us that loves to live and loves to play and loves to explore and loves to create, once we get in that place and start looking at this, we find that the only thing keeping us from trying something new that we might enjoy is that we've been listening and worrying about what's out there rather than paying attention to what's in here. We've been trying to adapt our steps to other people's music instead of stepping out and joyfully or fearlessly or even outrageously, I love that word, dancing to music of our own making. Now, if you think about it, dancing is a great metaphor for living. And when I say living, I don't just mean breathing and taking up space. A lot of people call that living. When I say living, I mean living the way our spirit is meant to live. And at the very least, that means being completely present. It means being aware of life and people. It means giving and receiving love unconditionally without limit. It means fulfilling our desires, whatever they may happen to be. And it means using our God-given talents. That is living. Now, just for starters, we could actually look at the entire world as one big dance floor. I mean, Shakespeare said all the world's a stage and each one of us is an actor on the stage, so it's not that big a stretch to sort of look at the world as a dance floor that each one of us is on. I mean, just like actors are sometimes off stage, sometimes on, sometimes we're dancing in our life, and sometimes we're just sort of sitting down on the side. And when we're sitting down, it may be because we're tired, it may be because we don't like the music, or because we're waiting for one particular song or one kind of music, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. Nobody expects us to dance all the time, dance every dance, or to like all of the songs. We all like different kinds of music, and we all have to rest every now and then. But the people that I'm curious about, once again, looking at dance as life, are the people who seem to be living on the sidelines permanently. When I was growing up, we used to call them, what was the term? Wallflowers. People, it's a great term, you know, flowers planted on the wall. I'm talking about people who are going through life and don't necessarily enjoy sitting out every dance, they're just doing it. Maybe it's because they never learned how to dance. Maybe they don't like music. Then again, maybe they're sitting out because they're mad at somebody or because somebody laughed at them once when they tried to dance and they weren't very good at it. So what they do, instead of getting involved in life, is they sit on the sideline and they criticize the people who are actually out there trying to dance, or they criticize the music, or they criticize the venue or the dance hall, but they don't participate. They just sit on the side and kibitz. But then there are the rest of us who are actually out there on the dance floor, out in the world doing the things that we can do. But even when we're out there, we tend to limit ourselves. Some people are out on the dance floor showing off their style, hoping other people will notice. Some people are out there showing off their style when they don't have any style, and they probably, you know, probably shouldn't be out there, but they are. God bless them. And some of those people, many of them, are dancing beautifully simply for the enjoyment of being out there and feeling themselves move. Now, a few people out there are dancing by themselves, their eyes closed, kind of swaying to the music. Some people are dancing with someone, but they're still by themselves. I know people like that. And some of the people are dancing and they are completely connected with the person that they're with, body to body, eye to eye, heart to heart. And that's an amazing thing to watch. Then there are all the different styles, whether it's dancing or living. Some people have perfect rhythm, while other people seem to use the rhythm as a suggestion, and they're not on it very often, you know. Some people are very, very serious about doing the right steps to each dance perfectly, the way they were taught and the way you're supposed to do it, the rumba, the swing, the cha-cha, even disco, whatever it happens to be, but they're doing it exactly right. And then there are other people who are laughing, and they're making up their own steps, and they're combining different dance steps that they had, and they're having fun creating new styles. Now, there are some people on the floor, so to speak, who change partners every dance, always looking for the perfect partner, but always finding a flaw in each one of them, whether it's a person or a job or whatever it is. Some people stick with the one that brought them. That's an old country song, I know. And they stick with that person whether they like them or not because they're afraid to be alone. They're afraid to be alone. Even though there are a lot of different dancers on the floor doing different things, most people try not to bump into each other, even though they still do. And when they bump into each other, some people smile and say, excuse me, they forgive, while other people get mad and they start pushing back and they try to start a fight. People are coming and going, both during the dances and in between the songs. When the music changes, everybody changes with it, just like in our life. You know, when we go from prosperity, everybody feels prosperous. When we go to the place where we are now, everybody follows everybody else. But when the music changes, everyone does it because nobody wants to be doing a different dance than all the other people around them are doing because they'd feel out of step. Nobody dances when the music isn't playing. When it does, everybody goes out on the floor and does what they do. So it's kind of like life in that way. But now I want you to picture a person. Picture a person, could be you, me, someone we're watching, walking out on the dance floor with earplugs in their ear, headphones in their ear, attached to an iPod, on their belt, and they start dancing to whatever music is in the iPod, not the music that's playing on the floor. And all the music that they dance to are songs that they themselves have chosen. They've chosen what they're listening to. So every song is something they love. Then another person comes and they've got the headphones and they join them, all in another person, and all of them are dancing to their own music, each one of them sort of weaving between the other dancers. When they're in rhythm with someone, they touch and they enjoy, and when they're not, they simply leave, move over, go out on their own way, not upset that they're different from the other person, simply accepting everyone where they happen to be. Now, when they do this, what do you think the other people on the dance floor are going to do, especially if they're right in the middle? Okay, they're going to go, who do those people think they are? They're looking at them. Don't these people realize they're supposed to be dancing to the music that's playing here? You know, we've got our rules here. So maybe they leave the floor in anger or they try to stop the iPod dancers, whatever. Who do you think would enjoy the evening more? The people who are dancing to their own music or the people who are trying to control everybody? The answer is obvious. Now, I realize we may be beating this analogy to death, and I could, but it's actually a pretty good analogy because dancing, along with music, is one of the oldest art forms in the human experience. Just like living, dancing requires the dancer to be involved. In fact, the dancer is the art, just like you and I are actually life. Life is not something we are doing, it is something that we are. It's impossible to separate the dancer from the dance. I have a book at home that I bought recently, and it's got these beautiful pictures of people from all over the world in many different kinds of dance. And the title of the book is Dancing, the Pleasure, Power, and Art of movement. Of movement. And movement is life. From the movement of a child in the womb to that point at the end of our life when movement stops. And we call that death, when there's no more movement. And in this book, the author writes, he says, "The impulse to move is the raw material that cultures shape into evocative sequences of physical activity that we call dance. And this phenomena," he says, "is universal." But then he says, "To question or to belittle other people's dances is to challenge their right to be themselves." And he goes on to say this can lead to anger and contempt or even violence. Once again, if we substitute the word life for dance, the result is the same. Now, in today's world, I think we are all beginning to realize, if we haven't yet, we should, that criticizing or condemning the way that other people choose to express themselves can have some pretty serious consequences. Now, we express ourselves in many different ways. Besides dancing, we express ourselves in the language that we use, the religion that we practice, that's a big separator, in the clothes that we wear, in the people we love, or what our lifestyle is in terms of relationships, and in the work that we do, among other things. But when we, for whatever reason, come to believe that our way of thinking or doing or being is either the right answer or the only answer for other people, we're not only criticizing them, we are criticizing life itself. Because life does not have one way of existing. Life does not have one answer or one way of doing things. Life is infinite variety, even within a single species. I mean, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every rose, every raindrop, snowflake, whatever it is different from every other. In the same way, even if we're doing the same dance, we all do it differently, not just because some of us are better dancers than others, but because we all put our own unique movement and interpretation in every step. For example, personal example, how many people here like line dancing, that kind of thing? Remember the electric slide? Anybody here remember it? That kind of stuff? You know, I know you wouldn't admit it, but, you know, we actually do. I don't do it very often because I don't go out dancing a lot. But to be perfectly honest, I don't do it very well, but I like it. I really, really enjoy it. And every time that I go somewhere that it's being done, and the last time was at our retreat when the group started doing it, here's a sequence that I go through. See if you can identify with it. First of all, I'm on the floor, and I'm sort of dancing away, doing my own thing, and I realize as I look over to one side that a movement is starting to form. People are starting to line up and they're starting to do that clap side thing, whatever it happens to be. So at that point, I've got a choice. I can either leave the dance floor, that's one choice. I can go find my own space and keep doing my own kind of dancing, or I can join the group and learn something new. That sounds cool, so I get in line. Now, for the first few rounds, when they're doing that movement, right, left, circle, everybody familiar with this, okay. For the first few rotations, I'm completely out of step, I'm turning the wrong way, I'm just trying not to get run over. That's my first for the first few minutes. But I'm watching, trying to watch while I'm moving, and I'm paying attention, and pretty soon I start to get the hang of it, and before you know it, I'm actually doing it. I'm doing the steps, I'm turning in the right direction, and every so often I'm even with the music, okay, so I get that far. But then that's where something interesting happens. I start to add, once I get confident, I start to add my own little movements. Maybe a clap, you know, kind of a thing. You know. Now, granted, it's a 58-year-old white guy movement. It's not that good, but, you know, it's sort of like it is what it is. Okay. Maybe I add a spin or a shuffle or whatever it happens to be, and everybody else in the group starts adding theirs. I mean, some of them are absolutely amazing. And by the end of the song, even though we're all doing the same dance, even though we're all moving with the same music and in the same direction, each one of us is doing it in our own unique way, and it's really cool. Now, don't you wish the world could kind of be like that? You know, we all got stuff we got to do together going in the same direction, but it'd be nice if we would allow each other to do it in our own way. Now, every so often, this is true for me, probably for you too, I encounter someone who is not dancing in their life, either literally or more often figuratively. And they're not dancing, they're not participating because they're waiting for someone to ask them. They're waiting for somebody to ask them. And that's kind of sad. Because I have met people who write music and songs that no one has ever heard except them. I know people who have written books and short stories that no one besides them has ever read. I know people who have brilliant business ideas, amazing inventions, whatever, fantastic abilities that never make it out of their own home, all because they believe, for some foolish reason, that their truly unique talent or skill, which it is not important enough for them to take out into the world and share with people who might welcome it. But even if the people out there don't like what they do, it's still important that they get out, that they bring what they have out into the world. Not for the world's benefit, but for their own. It's important that they step onto the dance floor and do their own dance to their own music, not so that other people will see what they can do, but so that they can see what they can do. Because otherwise, they're never going to know. You see, the universe is constantly inviting us to come out and play all the time. Life is always asking us to dance, and we can even choose whatever music we want. So all we have to do is to say yes, and the party starts. That's all we've got to do. Unfortunately, for many people, the automatic answer to this cosmic opportunity that is constantly presenting itself is a polite, no thank you, no thank you. We go through life telling ourselves or anyone else, oh no, I don't dance. No, no, I can't sing. I'm not interested in a relationship, thank you very much. This job is fine. It's nothing special, but it's all right. It pays the bills. That isn't for me. Those are the kind of answers that we use. And as a result, our world gets very, very small and very, very quiet. You know, for some strange reason, whatever it is, just like the wallflowers that we used to see in our high school dance, we decide that we deserve very little from life, and that's exactly what we get. It's no wonder that the master teacher, Jesus, once said, or we're told that he said, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Of life, which is what heaven means. Because children make up their own dance. Have you seen them? And they will do that dance whether there's music playing or not. They will dance right in the middle of the floor and they won't be embarrassed from it, okay? Children believe that they deserve and that they can have and that they can do anything that they want. Or at least they believe it until we change their belief with our criticism, ridicule, and disapproval, which is what the world does to us. You know, at some point, and for a lot of us it was in adolescence, it may have been a little earlier or later, at some point many of us became concerned about how we looked and even more concerned about how other people thought we looked. So somehow we went from this totally self-confident and comfortable child, which we all were, to being this insecure, self-conscious, and self-critical grown-up. And in the process of that change, we lost something. We lost something. We lost at least part of our ability to feel complete and unconditional joy in our own being, and we traded that joy away in exchange for a positive opinion bestowed upon us reluctantly by a very shallow world that, as far as I can tell, doesn't know how to enjoy itself very well either. And that's sad too. You know, choosing to dance, saying yes to life, another way of saying it, it symbolizes our willingness to do the things that we love without anyone else's permission or anyone else's approval. But before we can do the things we love, there's something else we have to do first. At some point, and the earlier the better, we have to figure out what it is that we love to do. And if we don't know how to go about discovering what that is, we may actually have to try a few things that we're not very good at, or maybe do some things where we don't look very good, at least while we're learning. We may have to try dancing, or singing, or painting, or playing the banjo. We may have to try a different kind of job. We may have to date different people, or talk to our partner or our spouse about having a different kind of a relationship so we can both enjoy dancing together. We may have to use our body in a different way, the way we feed it, the way we take care of it. But if we can't do any of these things very well, if we're worried about everyone else is going to think while we're doing it, we're going to have a problem. Because there are always reasons not to do something, not to dance, not to play, not to live. You can always find a reason, and there are always plenty of people around who are all too willing to tell us why we should or shouldn't live our life in a certain way. But something that we need to get very clear about is that God, however you see God in your life, doesn't care how we look. God doesn't care how we look when we dance, doesn't care what we sound like when we sing, doesn't care in the least. Contrary to our initial religious training, it's not a person telling us what to do and not to do. God is the feeling that we have when we express ourselves completely from within. That's what God is. It's that inner something that we notice, and you can notice it once you practice, that tells us when we're enjoying what we're doing, and it tells us when we're not. Now, the key word here is inner, that inner something. Because if we feel afraid or embarrassed or think we might fail at something that we don't know how to do, that's not God. That's not God in us. That's our old useless beliefs imposed upon us from the outside, getting in the way of what we could call our God self, our spiritual self. The good news is, when we do finally step onto the dance floor, through the fear, through the pain, through the chatter coming from all the people around us who don't know or understand us, the answers that we're looking for become clearer, just clearer. We start to see guidance inside, outside, around us, in all sorts of places where we never looked before, and it just feels right. And that's because there is something in us. There's something in us from the moment we're born and probably before that insists upon making itself known, not to the world, but to us. It wants to make itself known to us. It's who we really are, trying to break through, trying to break out of the illusion of who we think we are or who other people have told us that we were. So we are the dancer, we are the singer, we are the musician. We are the music, we are the song, and we are the dance. And until we realize that, we will never be able to live the kind of life that we're meant to live. You see, once we start walking a truly spiritual path, whatever that looks like for us, we may find out that what we want for ourselves is not what other people want for us. But that's okay. That's okay. We all have the need and the right to be our own God self in action. If we're not being our true self, we're not good to anyone else, and we're not good to the world either. We're just sort of killing time and taking up room, which is really a shame when you consider how much we all have to offer. So this week, I want to offer you a challenge for yourself. I do this about once every year or so. I want you to, this week, everybody promise to do what I'm going to tell you? Okay. It's got nothing to do with a monkey or a peanut or anything. Okay. If you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do between this week and next week, okay? I want you to do something that you really and truly love to do that you haven't done in a long time. So it's going to take a little thinking, all right? It could be something small, or it could be something really big. I want you to do something that excites you, or at least start planning it. If it requires travel, buy a ticket or make a reservation. If it requires time that you don't think you have, then cancel something that you don't like doing. Ooh, there's a thought. Wouldn't that be great? Play hooky from work if you got to do it. Find somebody to take care of the kids. If it takes money, spend a little of your precious savings, because if you die in a year, it's not going to matter whether your 401k turned into a 301k or whatever it happened to be, all right? If it would be more fun with another person, ask somebody. And if they say no, ask somebody else, okay? Ask somebody else. Go dancing somewhere where other people are dancing and enjoying themselves. Sing your favorite song in the middle of Piedmont Park. Try that, okay? Turn up the volume of your stereo at home and start shaking your booty, however you do that, okay? And as that old saying goes, dance like nobody's watching and sing like nobody's listening. And this is important. When you do that, notice how it feels in here. And keep that feeling. And remember how to find that feeling when you need it, because you will. You will need it. Because someday soon, It happens all the time. Someone is going to look at you, and they're going to shake their head in disapproval, maybe a little tisk, tisk, tisk. They do that. And when they do, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, walk up to them, look them in the eye, and ask them to dance. Ask them to dance. That's probably just what they need. This is the truth in your life. And this is the truth in mine. And so it is. So it is. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Let's celebrate these ideas. Let's think of them as playful, not stress and something else to do. Take the ideas that resonated with you, that came up from you, take them for yourselves. I give them to you freely. And let's know this. Life is a joyful experience. That's what it's meant to be, and that's what it is, whether we choose to play or not. The playground is always there. The games are always there. The universe is always inviting us to be a part of it. All we have to do is say yes and to step out onto the floor. So today, in this sacred time, the sacred time where we recognize the presence of Spirit in us and the presence of Spirit in the world, we decide today that we are ready to start playing a little more than we have been. We're ready to stop worrying as much, to stop being as afraid as we were, to start knowing the truth and not just knowing it, but living it. And as we begin to play and the universe invites us and we accept, we invite others to play. And as we invite others to play, they may not, they may dance, they may not. That's not our problem. We offer the invitation. We accept the invitation and we offer it to others. And as each one of us does this, eventually all of us are out on the floor dancing together. We are all out playing. We are all out laughing and wondering, why were we so sad before when we had so much open and available to us? I invite you to take a few moments now, and in the silence of your own heart and mind, I invite you to see yourself as a child dancing. As a child dancing totally from within, hearing your own music, feeling the joy of simply moving your body. And as you see that picture in your mind's eye, smile and allow the feeling of that child to become a feeling of your own. Take these moments for yourself. As this feeling fills our heart and mind, and we recognize that this is truly a sacred feeling for which we give thanks, we embrace the child that is within us. We embrace the beautiful, playful world that is around us. We embrace the greater wisdom of life that is always filling us, our heart, soul, and mind. This is our truth. With gratitude and a recognition of its sacred spiritual significance, we accept this and we go out into the world transformed. We accept it and release it, and so it is.